Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
I'm so ready to go on a trip.
He's going to say home.
You know, she says that. And then when we go on trips.
Complain.
The entire time. I'm so ready to go.
My belly hurts. I got to pee.
I'm so tired. I'm ready to hibernate for a month.
Gonna need a week off after this.
That's what I always say after going somewhere. I'm going to need another week's vacation to get over my vacation.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she does.
I'm going to Gatlinburg, though.
Hate you.
She's going with her mom.
Not next week, but the
week
after.
That's right, guys. Her mom's still alive.
I'm not
as
that
old as Kim is.
I'm not that old.
Her mom is still alive.
How old is your mother?
100 and...
No.
70s.
You don't know how old your mom is? Hell, 73? You're going to hell.
They're real close.
She's just making crap up.
That's not right either.
Yeah,
I don't
you're
think.
Just making it up.
Say our grandma would be about 80, and you're the same age as our mother, so between 70 to 80?
Yeah. She was 18 when I was born.
Okay. I was old back then.
You're just making crap up now. Yeah, I love that. Where are you staying at? You're staying in Pigeon Forge, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got us a condo.
Yeah, for like 2 or 3 days, right?
Who's rich.
3 days. Three nights.
Three nights.
She's staying three nights at Pigeon Forge.
We're leaving Sunday morning, and we'll be back Wednesday afternoon.
Oh, nice.
That's a quick trip.
Now, what's your favorite part about the drive?
When I get there?
Soon as she sees a Bucky's.
The whole thing. I love the drive because we've went down there ever since I was 5.
Mm-hmm.
On a regular basis. We got a camper, our first camper we got when I was like 4 or 5. And we started going down there every year. And we would go the week before school would start. So we would usually come back really close to Labor Day because school usually started right after Labor Day.
Right.
So it's just knowing that I'm going there because it's my favorite place in the world.
It is a lovely place. Puts you in a good mood.
It does. And it's not so much Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge anymore because they're so commercialized now.
Mm-hmm.
But go into those Smoky Mountains.
Yeah. I like going to the part, like the mountains part.
Yeah, I like Cates Cove.
Going there better when I was younger before it became what it is now and, you know, just only getting worse. Because every time I go there now, it kind of depresses a little. It's overcrowded. Everything's just, you know, buy pancakes and goats on a roof. And I'm like, put me in the mountains away from the people. And that's all I want.
Yep, we'll get
that's
there.
What I want too. I like the cabins in the woods that are up on the hills.
Yeah.
The only way I'll drive up into the mountains is if it's in the park and it's the main roads. I don't like to go on any type of extra excursions.
I like it.
Okay, here's why. When I was a kid, probably 12 or 13 maybe, we went down there and my grandpa loved to go driving in the mountains. He'd love to go driving in the mountains. And we decided we were going driving in the mountains one day. And we started going up this real big, this huge, you know, steep incline. And we finally get to the top. And instead of going over, Grandpa decided he was going to stop. And it's a good thing because that was somebody's driveway. There was a house on this side and a house on this side, and the other side went straight down.
Jesus.
And ever since then, I would have been terrified if he hadn't had the sense to stop at the top.
Mm. Kim would not be talking to us right now.
We wouldn't have made it. None of us would have made it.
I hope her grandpa's in some place.
How fast were you driving up that mountain? Good gosh.
We weren't going that fast. No. No, but we just got up there, and he's like, man, I'm not real sure that this is actually a road. And
there are a lot of places like that.
Yes.
Yeah. Is. Where you're like, oh, this is getting a little snaky, a little risky. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we've had cabins up in the mountains before and they are beautiful, but I won't drive it. And actually, the last one that we had up in the mountains, no, it wasn't the last one either. One of them that we had up in the mountains, my ex-husband's whole family were going to go down and spend a week together in a cabin. It was like 7 or 8 bedroom cabin. It was a nice size cabin. Well, there was one point up as you're going up to get to it, there was a point where it dipped. It had a dip and then it went back up.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the road was on the other side. And my nerves, I have the world's worst nerves. And he thought it was going to be really funny once, because he would, of course, he went real slow going up there the first time, so he'd know where he was going. But after that, he thought it was hilarious because once we hit that one dip and come up and go, went out on the other side, I was freaking out, right? And I even knew that there was a road there. Well, like second or third time he started to do this, I looked at him and I said, you do that again, you won't get me off this mountain until it's time to go home because I'm not coming back up.
Right. Walking down.
And he finally stopped. But I can't deal with it.
Have you guys seen those adult Airbnbs they have in around Pigeon Forge? I found one the other day. Mm-hmm. They have, you know, Airbnb, everybody does. Right. But they have adult only ones for some sexy time.
Oh, really?
They have one in Pigeon Forge that's an adult-only bondage cabin.
Oh, really?
Get tied up and tied down and scream into the mountains.
You didn't accidentally...
that'd be hilarious. Kim, no. I'm your mama. You know that, right?
I thought originally when I was getting ready to book this place, I thought it was the same complex that we stayed in with when we went down there for a work trip.
Right.
But it's not. It's across from a little farther down from Titanic, but on the opposite side of the road, back a little farther. So it's probably not too awful far from where we stayed when we went last year in the spring.
Oh, so in the valley. So you won't be on it.
No, I won't be on it. No, I wouldn't have booked it if I'd known I was going to be driving up mountains.
That one hotel we stayed at when we all went down there with Emily, where Father Time in the hot tub and I made chili in the crock pot.
Yeah, that was insufferable.
I love the view from our balcony.
It was beautiful
meadow and a little creek.
Yeah.
And like in the morning, the
mist. Yeah.
It was gorgeous. So pretty.
Yeah, I liked it too.
The crime museum there has OJ's Bronco.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys see that he died?
I did see that. The funny part about his Bronco being there is when that was all happening and they were chasing him in the Bronco, I was in Gatlinburg when that happened because we had been somewhere. It was my ex-husband. It was before we ever had kids. And we had been somewhere. We went back to our room, you know, turned the TV on, and they were chasing him. So once they built that crime museum and I found out that they had OJ's Bronco there, I was like, you've got to be kidding. It came full circle.
Don't they have Bonnie and Clyde's car there as well?
It's a remake.
Okay.
But he killed Nicole, his wife, or mm-hmm. his ex-wife, or his wife, whatever.
Allegedly. He did it, though.
Yeah. Well, allegedly, he did it. But he also killed Ron.
Yep.
Goldman. And I've met Kim, Ron Goldman's sister, at CrimeCon in Texas. It was in Austin. So I have a picture that I took with her. Yeah, she was walking by my podcast table at CrimeCon. And she came up to introduce herself to me. And I was like, I know who you are, Kim. Like, you're Ron's sister. I know who you are.
She's the one that we seen speak in Vegas.
Yes, she was in Vegas, too.
And her, when we went and watched her, she impacted me real hard.
Yeah.
Real hard.
Yeah.
On her little thing that she did.
Yeah.
Because of the whole... I could relate to her mm-hmm. about being thrown in the limelight because of things that had happened, and that happened with me, with Amber. So I could really, really relate with her. And I sit and cried pretty much through the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I remember Shane looking at me like, you're right.
And I'm like, calm down, woman.
Just right. Settle down. Just settle down.
Pull yourself together.
Yeah, but I could really, really relate to her.
Yeah.
Honestly, all I know about the OJ case is driving down the Bronco. He killed his wife and her lover, I think. The Kardashian's dad was his lawyer, and he tried to put on a glove that was his, but he made it seem like it wasn't his.
Yeah.
I mean, I was so little. I wasn't watching murder cases.
Right. Yeah, Ron, I don't think that they ever said that he was her lover.
No, I
think they
were just friends. Yeah, I think they were just friends.
But
at least not that I remember.
Of most people who followed the case never said his name, really. It was just, you know, OJ is being charged for killing Nicole, who is this pretty white girl, blonde hair.
Mm-hmm. Wife.
Wife.
Estranged
wife. And this cute guy who she was with at that time. I think they were friends, but they weren't dating or anything like that. But I think the media kind of portrayed them as possibly dating. So I think that people kind of took it as that, but I don't think that was the case. But I think that Ron's family came away with that as people did not know Ron's name. They just knew him as that guy who was killed with Nicole.
With Nicole.
Which was very hurtful for them because they're like, he has a name.
Right. He was killed just as much as she was.
Yeah, and they were killed in a brutal way, clearly, seemingly,
that's the
by
first...
OJ.
That's the first case that I can remember kind of following through it.
Yeah. And it sucks for their children, too, because, you know, he took their mom from them. And then he eventually gets out of prison, not for that, because he went to go steal his memorabilia of his football career from a museum or something like that.
Yeah, I don't remember.
And then he got sent to prison, and then he gets out, and, you know, his
don't
kids.
Do drugs, folks.
He's the only parents
who,
you know, they have left. And then, you know, now he died from cancer. You know, it sucks for his kids that he put them in this situation.
I mean, he was a lot older than I thought.
Like, yeah, he was older.
Almost 80?
He's 70 in his 70s.
Something? Like grandma's age. I was like, damn. For some reason in my head, I'm like, oh, he's only like 50.
Well, you have to remember, people in LA don't age as much. Like they
get pulled tight and frozen a little.
Yeah, and I also don't know.
I'm almost there.
I wonder, like, also if winters, if you don't go through winters, does that not age you as much?
You're not as stressed.
I mean, it makes sense because you're not losing all of that moisture in your skin and stuff.
Yeah, but you're getting more sun damage.
Yeah.
Not if you don't go out to the sun a lot.
They're going outside.
That's all they do.
All the restaurants are outside.
To get kale and other natural stuff.
Why does that make me want to throw up?
The first time I landed in L.A., like, you know you're in L.A. because all the people look like they are in L.A.
Right.
And, of course, here I am, a fat, tall guy, and I was just like, oh, my God, I feel so out of it. I'm less than 35, and I land, and I'm like, oh, look, I'm 45.
You know? Oh, I know. I'm like a -4 in LA gay.
Uh-huh.
Like, I have, like, my forehead moves.
Yeah.
And
LA gay?
Yeah. That's
They're a different breed than us Indiana gays.
I guess so.
I'm like butch.
Yeah, I felt very weird being fat in LA.
I bet. And for as tolerant as they make themselves seem out to be. They are if you're pretty, but if you're, you know, not drop-dead gorgeous, right. You're kind of like just thrown on the side.
Mm. Yeah, I felt very weird out there. I liked the weather. It felt very good. I can see why people
would Emily didn't there. Like LA at all.
I liked the weather.
I don't know that she actually went to LA, but she did go to California, and I don't think that she liked it at all there.
If it was anything like Vegas, it would just make me depressed. I could throw something at
you, Kim. I don't. She went out there. I don't know if it.
I don't know if it was there. Yeah,
she went out to LA. Well, she went to California,
it's a huge state.
It's a massive state.
I know, but I don't remember that where doesn't it was. Mean it was that LA, she was at.
Kim.
I know she went to the coast at one point, but I don't remember.
Still it's the state. Still
a big state.
It's like almost the whole entire.
I'm going to sit here and shut up now. Thank you.
I'd appreciate it.
Oh, now let's get back to the.
So, because we have this traveling to do, I don't know if you guys have this annoyance. I get so annoyed by motorcycle people who drive motorcycles.
All by my house.
Yes. Mm. Well, I get so annoyed because they drive really reckless.
Mm-hmm.
But I also get worried by some of them because if they don't drive reckless, sometimes there are reckless drivers who drive near them. And I'm like, oh my God, they're going to get hit. Yeah. But in big cities, you'll have the motorcyclists who will weave in and out of traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I'm going to have a panic attack. Or they're going to hit my mirror. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, don't touch my mirror.
This morning on my way in, I was coming through LaFountain mm-hmm. and was getting closer to Wabash. And I looked in my rearview mirror and there was a guy on a motorcycle that was behind me. And I could tell just by the way he was riding that he was going to go flying around me once he had the chance. And there was a semi in front of me. So it's not like I could, you know, speed up any so that he'd get off of my ass. And we finally got to a point and he did. He went out and went zoom and went right around me. And he gets in front of me. And instead of riding like he has since, he starts going back and forth.
Oh my God.
Back and forth.
And they want us to watch out for them, but then they drive like this.
I was like, you are an idiot. You're going to end up laying that thing over.
Well, you know, there are equally as many people who can't drive cars as there are motorcyclists. So I don't think it's the problems with motorcycle drivers. But I think what surprises me is that there are seatbelt laws and there are laws that are in place to protect drivers of vehicles because there are so many stupid drivers of vehicles.
Right.
But there are not. Like, all states do not have laws for helmets.
Right.
I was really surprised this guy did have a helmet on.
But, like, when you drive, especially across different states, and, you know, different states have different laws.
Right.
But a lot of states do not have helmet laws. And it just shocks me that motorcyclists will not wear helmets. Like, that just shocks me to no end.
I was just really for the surprised. Bugs alone. Like, and for the Christ's wind, sake.
I know.
Like,
but, like, there are a lot of people who die on motorcycles, you know.
And your head hits the pavement, you fall
off that motorcycle, you're not wearing a helmet, bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. And you hear about people having helmets on and having wrecks, and they split their helmet from their head hitting the ground. That would have been your head.
In fact, the last time I was in Denver, there was a motorcyclist who was weaving in and out of traffic, and someone hit him. And I remember driving up on it, and he was just, in pieces.
Splat.
In pieces. Ooh. And the awful thing is, if he was wearing a helmet, he may have survived. But because he wasn't, he was clearly dead.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and he was in a big interstate area.
Right.
But because he wasn't wearing a helmet, all these people witnessed it.
Mm-hmm.
So not only what did his choice... And not wearing, and I don't know if there was a law that was in place that he should have been wearing one or what the deal was, but I believe I was in Denver or I was going to Denver. But anyway, but like when people don't wear helmets, you know, they're not only impacting themselves and putting themselves in danger, but you're also going to impact others who may have children who might come up on this.
Yeah.
Or what if they hit you and kill you? And then now you just further damaged their lives.
Yeah.
So, I saw that. It was a horrible accident.
This guy that went around me this morning did the exact same thing.
You were with me when we came across the motorcycle accident, I believe. And I think we came from the park. But you didn't look.
I've learned my lesson. Don't look.
Yeah, you didn't look. I was driving, so I had to.
I was very traumatized by being up in the mountains that high. I was having real heart issues was already. Anyway. So I was already in my own head.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't remember it. But yeah, that guy that went around me and was weaving back and forth, he did the exact same thing to the semi that was in front of me and started, you know, weaving back and forth. And I thought, one wrong move, dude, and you're splat. You're done.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was like when it's like football players that wouldn't wear a helmet.
Yeah.
You know, like you just do it for protection.
Right.
Clearly, common it's the sense. Right thing that you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't, it didn't make sense to me. So
I don't look at wrecks anymore. I did the last one I did, the guy, it was a bad one, and paramedics and people had just got there. So the white sheets weren't out yet.
Mm-hmm.
He was in half. And. Mm. Like, just his insides were on the outs, just strewn across the road. And after that, I'm like, when I see an accident, I keep my eyes on the road, but I don't want to see. That was bad enough.
Right. So, speaking of this, do you guys like tartar sauce?
Yeah. I like to put my fries in it.
I do, too.
Talk about a huge swing.
So, I was eating fish and chips. I don't like seafood, but I do like tartar sauce.
Mm-hmm.
So I will order fish and chips as long as the place has good tartar sauce.
Yeah.
But like if you don't have good tartar sauce, you just ruin the whole meal. You know what I'm talking about?
I put a little hot sauce in my tartar sauce.
Hot sauce?
Mm. I like a little kick.
No. I like a good tartar sauce.
Do you make your own tartar sauce?
No.
This is the difference between you and I. You'll buy fish and chips just for the tartar sauce because you know it's going to cover the taste of the fish.
Mm-hmm.
Half the time, I don't even use the tartar sauce. I just eat the fish.
Well, then we need to go out together to a fish and chip place so I can have your tartar sauce.
Now I want some damn fried catfish.
No. I don't like catfish.
That's too fishy. There's no amount of tartar sauce to go cover up catfish. Mm-hmm.
You never got catfish, Captain D's? What'd you get?
Chicken?
Oh.
No, when we were younger and we would go with grandma, I think that I would just get the Cajun.
Yeah. Oh.
And dip that in tartar sauce.
Mm.
But the Cajun and the tartar sauce would trump any flavor of fish that you
I want fish now.
I know. Dumb.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Growing older has been less mysterious ever since I started using Hormone Harmony to help with the symptoms of menopause. Between the sleepless nights, random hot flashes, mild mood swings, it was making it really difficult to focus, rest, and enjoy myself. Hormone Harmony has helped make traveling around with two young men in a mystery machine a lot more bearable. Hormone Harmony is not just for those of us suffering from menopause. Women who have symptoms of hormonal imbalances can benefit from Hormone Harmony. It has helped guide me through the mystery of menopause into a more harmonious journey through a natural process in each woman's life. The company behind Hormone Harmony, Happy Mammoth, advocates for women and helps them regain control of their hormones. With over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, more women are feeling more like themselves now more than ever. Thank you, Hormone Harmony, for unmasking the monster behind my menopause. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MYSTERY at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code MYSTERY for 15% off today.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
No, I
want to go fishing.
Oh my God. Nope.
I need to get my license.
I'd love to go fishing.
We should do a fishing excursion.
Just watch out for...
Shane can sit in the sun.
The only problem is that I won't touch the fish. I'll put the worm on.
I'll do it.
I don't mind doing the
Josh
worm.
Josh will be the man to catch the fish.
You'll be the man?
I've got gloves.
Will you be Butch for me?
You put the worm on, I'll take the fish off. I hate the worm.
See, I don't mind the worm.
You guys are just a team.
I dress real Butch when I go fishing, so I don't, attract a hate crime or anything.
I haven't been fishing in quite a few years, but I love to fish.
But when I put that worm on, they know I'm a homosexual because I do it real fast too. And I wash my hands in the water.
That's funny.
All right. So, guys, we are going to be at CrimeCon in Nashville coming up here soon.
I am so excited. So excited.
Tick tock cult clock.
Ooh, I'm so excited.
On May 29th, Wednesday evening, we will be at Centennial Park for a picnic at 6 p.m. We're going to be outside the Parthenon.
With potato salad.
Yeah. I'll have mustard potato salad. Yeah. So the address there is 2500 West End Avenue in Nashville. Again, you can't miss the Parthenon at Centennial Park. 6 p.m. local time.
It is a beautiful building.
Bring your own food. We're going to have a picnic.
Yep. And we stand out in a crowd, literally. Yes. Mm-hmm.
You'll see the Mystery Machine Tesla in the parking lot. Look for the three of us. We'll all three be there.
I'll be the gay one.
6 p.m. Josh,
I'll be the short one. Shane will be the tall one.
We cover all our bases here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, look for us. We'll be there.
Yeah, I'm excited. I hope somebody comes and gets to meet me. I want to meet
Kim's
my
real
fans.
Excited to meet her fans.
I am.
Have
so
you been to the Parthenon, Josh?
No. I can't recall. God, I've huge. Driven through Nashville, like as passing through, but I've never.
Well, they built the Centennial Park when they had the World's Fair in the early 1900s, I believe, in Nashville.
Mm-hmm. I've seen the pictures.
So it's been there a long time. And they have a huge statue of Athena inside.
You have that in a frame somewhere. Mm-hmm.
I wonder what their hours are.
I looked.
Whatever we want.
They were open until 8, I think.
We should go in. So
when you go
job.
In, you'll go around to the side of it and like you go down into it. Ooh. Like you start going down into the museum. It's like an art museum almost when you go in. Mm-hmm. They have like an art gallery.
Yeah, they have a gallery.
Hell yeah.
And like there's this huge, massive door because they've designed the entire inside just like the Parthenon.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's massive, first of all. Like, when we approached it, it took, like, I was shocked by the size of it. Like, for it to be in the middle of Nashville. I love when that
happens.
Oh, my God, Josh. It was absolutely crazy. But when we first got there, it was funny because, like, you're not really sure how to get into it. Because it's, like, this massive temple. And you're like, where's the door? So we walk around all the way.
You would think that the door would be aimed towards the parking lot, right? Yeah. No, you have to walk all the way around.
And it's like down. You have a ramp down into it. So like you need to be in the parking lot and then go off to the side and then go down into it. So like if you go up to the Parthenon and like walk around the pillars, you're never going to find the door. Because you have to, like, walk down into the parking lot and then walk around. And then it eventually brings you down to doors to bring you down, like, underneath the facility.
Dear heavens.
Yeah. So, like, when we first got there, one of the thin people who were with us walked clear around the top of it. Because, like, you can walk around the pillars and stuff.
Yeah.
And he's like, there's no door.
And we were supposed to meet them here.
Yeah, and we were meeting them there for a Hometown History episode.
Yeah.
So we're like, well, there has to be some way to get into this. Yeah. So it was
It was really cool.
A learning curve.
They have this just right off of it too, they have a really cool statue of women's suffrage. And there's a bunch of women that have picket signs, you know, so that they can vote. Awesome. And it's a really, really cool place. Yeah.
I'll bring my brassiere to burn.
There you go.
We need a, like, I don't know, a Mystery Ink flag or something that we can...
A Mystery Machine Tesla that everyone can see?
Well, we won't be right at we won't be right at the car. We'll be someplace.
They'll see us. We're three not small people.
I mean, it's not gonna be hard one of us is, but the other two not so much.
We're pretty easy to spot in a crowd, I feel like.
We're going to be pretty easy to spot.
Okay. All right. If you say so.
Pretty easy.
I'll be. Yeah. I'm usually the tallest gay whenever I'm anywhere.
And I'm the tallest.
Yeah. So come find us.
Okay.
Come visit.
And it's going to be like they have to solve the mystery. It's like, what's that game when we were little? We would play that, you know, like you had those books.
You had
the books.
Where's Waldo?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
there you go.
Where's Mystery Ink?
There you go. Come just a little bit early and find Mystery Ink. Where are we?
If we see a looking, we'll hide. I'll have a good hide and seek.
I'll hide behind Kim.
I could see Josh hiding behind a tree.
Oh, thank you. You're so sweet, Kim.
It's not going to happen to us.
We'll hide behind the Parthenon.
That statue of Athena, it's big enough. Right.
It's huge.
It is really huge. The door inside
was absolutely massive. I remember that. Like, I mean, you can't imagine a door that size. Absolutely crazy.
I'm pretty sure that the things that you would open the door with were way above my head.
Yeah. And they have other statues, like Roman statues, I think, that they have, that they came over from Rome or Greece. I can't remember which one.
I don't remember. Hmm.
But they're in the back of a section. They might even have Egyptian stuff there, too. I mean, it's a good-sized museum. So they have, like, stuff from all over that comes
in. It's pretty
decent. Yeah, it was a really cool place.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was really cool. And actually, when we were talking about it in our group chat, you know, I was looking back through the pictures so that I could send Josh a picture of what it looked like. And I was like, oh, Athena was so pretty.
Yeah. It's like gold leaf.
Mm-hmm. Goddess of wisdom and war.
Yeah. All right, Josh, what's your mystery for today?
Let's find out.
He's reading it for the first time.
What is this about? Well, we've discussed a few different mysterious tunnels here. The Water's Hole, Bigfoot's secret tunnels, and the caves and tunnels under the Appalachian Mountains. But I came across a man-made tunnel and found out that it's responsible for thousands of people disappearing without a trace. No, they weren't sucked into a black hole or eaten by some creature. These people were kidnapped and sold as slaves. More specifically, men were stolen. That's one of the reasons I chose this, because I'm like, men kidnapped? That, you know, you don't hear about that very often.
There's two in my basement.
That's what I
did. One get out.
I added that in my mystery.
Oh, I forgot there was three.
I added that in my mystery, Kim. I referenced that. Although this does sound like something Kim would do, it happened in Portland, Oregon from the mid-1800s up into 1941. Have you guys ever heard of this? They are called the Shanghai Tunnels,
where
unsuspecting men would be sucked down into slavery. You like that pause? When you think of Portland, Oregon, you probably don't think about the vast network of miles of tunnels underground that were used for all sorts of seedy things. Opium dens, booze smuggling and storage during Prohibition, sex workers, and most surprisingly to me, kidnapping fully grown men to be sold into slavery aboard ships. The Shanghai Tunnels were miles of underground tunnels beneath the city of Portland built by Chinese immigrants to transport goods from cargo ships. But not long after they were built, some people saw an opportunity to make some illegal money and hide all of their secrets. Working on ships was a good way for men to make a living during the last few centuries. But when the gold rush happened in the mid-1800s, ships used to sail valuable goods were desperate for crew members. So a scheme was concocted between ship captains and men I'll call hunters. They thought that if men wouldn't willingly sign up to work as crew, then they would just take them by force.
That's not very nice.
Sounds like something Walmart would do. I mean, once they were out to sea on a ship, what could they do? The men were taken through several series of events. Usually, the men were in town looking for work. They would often frequent one of the many illegal speakeasies or opium dens in towns, and that's where the hunters would find them. Once they found the men they wanted, strong, big men who would make good crewmen, they would follow them. When victims were alone, they were either drugged with opiates, kidnapped while intoxicated, or simply just knocked over the head unconscious. They were then dropped or dragged into the tunnels through trap doors called deadfalls, which could be found in pretty much all the bars and saloons. Since alcohol was illegal, they had all these different ways, you know, if they were to be raided, they could just drop all the liquor down in the tunnel. Once in the tunnels, captives were locked in any number of cramped underground cells until they could be sold off to a life of slavery at sea. The captain paid the hunters by the body, and the men were transported and put to work. Now, if you're like me, you might be thinking, oh, hell no, I just wouldn't work. What are you going to do? But the men were beaten or starved if they didn't, or just thrown overboard hundreds of miles out to sea. It was a real lose-lose situation. While most of the men were forced to work on ships, others were taken to Shanghai, China, where they would be sold for other manual labor, hence the name of the tunnels. And it was also called getting Shanghai'd, if you've ever heard that expression.
Yeah.
I think I've heard it on some like old westerns and stuff. A few of the men did manage to return to Portland once they were released from their enslavement. There are reports that at its peak, up to 2,000 people a year were kidnapped and sold into slavery through the Shanghai tunnels for nearly 100 years. And able-bodied men weren't the only ones taken, of course. Women and girls were often warned about the dangers of going out alone in Portland. And their fate was even worse than the men, as you can imagine.
Go figure.
The women would be taken about the same way the men were, but before they were sold, they would be locked for up to months alone in small closet-sized boxes with no light. Then they were psychologically broken until they no longer could fight back or try to run away. The only positive I found with the woman is they weren't beaten, at least. Because, you know, they didn't want to damage their goods. I hate wording that, but that's, in my research, that's the way it was worded. They just wanted to break the woman mentally. So, I mean, they weren't physically abused, but abused every single other way. Then they were shipped to Chicago, New York City, or another country to be sold into sexual slavery. And I couldn't find any evidence of any woman making it back to Portland. For the men, the captains paid around $50 a head for them. And that was around a week's wages at that time. So, I mean, it was good money. The men would work for nothing except for food and not being thrown overboard, and they were kept on the ship until the end of the voyage. Sometimes, if they were lucky, it would be for a few months, but some lasted for several years. Today, there are some parts of the Shanghai tunnels open to tours, and you can see some of the rooms victims were held in, and even a few opium dens. There are also several ghost stories associated with the tunnels as well. And not only were people trafficked in them, but gangs, which were numerous during Prohibition, used them as well to store prisoners and to discreetly kill anyone who did them wrong. I chose this story because I found it shocking that it was happening right up until the early 1940s that men, more specifically white men, were being sold into slavery. I just couldn't recall any other time that I heard of, you know, white, fully grown men being sold into slavery, and especially up until the 1940s. Like,
that just thought that would have blew my mind. Long time ago. I'll be darned.
Also, I wanted to highlight the people who were taken. Even though we don't know their names, hundreds of thousands of people were kidnapped and sold right under the streets of a major city here in the U.S. And I hope wherever their spirits reside today, that they are at peace. And join us on Unmasked, and I'll find us some extra haunts from the Shanghai tunnels to share. Mm-hmm. As you know, that place is haunted. It's, also, it's known to be one of the most haunted places in the world.
Really?
Dun, dun, dun.
So did they just, you know, when they got tired of them or decided they didn't need any more, just let them go? Or
the men?
Did they kill them, yeah?
Depends. Some were killed, but the captains weren't in the market to kill people. They were in desperate need of crewmen. So, you know, they wanted them as long as they could put them to work. But once the voyage was over, they weren't like sailed back to Portland. They were just let off at whatever port in the world they were at. So, I mean, it could be a different country or whatnot. And it would take the men that did make it back, all the reports I found, like the shortest was he made it back in 6 years from being taken.
Jeez.
But just imagine you're a, you know, a guy, oh, I'm in Portland looking for work. Oh, I'm going to go have a good night on the town at a speakeasy. Next thing you know, you're waking up the next day in a literal hole in the ground, and then you're being sold on a ship for up to 6 years of hard manual labor at sea against your will.
That's awful.
Well, our bless your heart this week comes from our very own producer, Kim, who sent this to me the other day. A kind-hearted hairdresser has been a hero for many by dedicating his time to help build up the confidence of children affected by hair loss. He applies hair prosthesis on children entirely for free, and with the help of social media, his emotional transformations are reaching more people than ever before. Francisco Oliveira's barbershop in Brazil began gaining viral attention on social media after he decided to share videos of him applying hair prosthetics to men who struggled with hair loss. In just a matter of hours, they go from bald or balding to having a modern haircut. With over 5 years of experience and more than 3,000 hair pieces created, Francisco initially focused on addressing self-esteem challenges in his career. Although he didn't originally plan to work with children, as his work gained more attention online, he started to receiving requests for help. His first one happened when the mother of a young boy reached out to him and shared her son's story. The boy had suffered severe burns and a house fire when he was 2, and after undergoing 18 surgeries, the 9-year-old boy had very little hair left due to his injuries. While moved by his story, Francisco decided to help by applying a hair piece that looked natural. Now, children from all over the world have flown in to have their hair put on and styled by Francisco. He even started a project to help children regain their confidence by providing the hair pieces for free. For Francisco, the most rewarding aspect is seeing the joy of the children who receive the hair pieces. Above all, he values the smiles on their faces and the emotional reactions of the parents. Francisco and all those babies you are helping, we give you a big ol', well, bless your heart. Keep up the good work.
That was good.
I seen that. I can't remember if it was a TikTok video or what it was.
It was a little video clip.
And I watched it, and the little boys were just adorable. And they were just so thankful. And they just looked normal again after he was done with them, you know. And you could just see the tears in the parents' eyes. And I sent it to Josh. I said, man, this guy would make a really good bless your heart.
That's why I started tearing up just watching the video.
Because yeah, I did too.
Dramatic transformations. Yeah. You know, the one you sent me, this poor little boy had half of his scalp was burned off. And
yeah, he had hair on half of his head and the other half had, was really badly burned.
Mm. When he was finished, he looked good as new.
Yep.
So sweet. Oh. Well, we are beyond grateful to our amazing patrons who have shown us so much love and support. Thank you from the bottom of our little dried up hearts for joining us on Patreon. We are thrilled to keep bringing you exciting episodes on our podcast and hope you'll stick around for more. Trust us, we have some amazing things in store for you. Make sure to follow Mystery Inc. on Instagram and join us on Patreon to access our bonus episodes of Unmasked that we do right after this. And you can find us on both platforms under the username at It's Mystery Inc. And hey, while you're at it, why not join us on Facebook at Shane and Josh's Rabbit Hole and check out our website, itsmysteryinc.com. We'd love to connect with you there. On our website, you can find a wide selection of episodes, or if you'd like one of my little dicks, Amazonite necklaces, a t-shirt, or one of our cups, and Kim's BVDs. I always forget her big old BVDs.
Don't forget her BVDs, Josh.
I forgot to put them on.
Additionally, if you have any ideas for mysteries, positive news, dumb criminals, or foolish things that you would like to share with us, we'd love to hear from you. And circle the dates, July 12th through the 14th, we're hitting the True Crime and Paranormal Podcast Festival in Denver, Colorado. Don't miss out. You can get your tickets at truecrimepodcastfestival.com. Save 15% off your ticket by using the code MYSTERY15 at checkout. And we hope to see you there. And if you come, tell them Mystery Inc. sent you. And thank you all for joining us today. And bless your heart.
Yeah. We'll see you next time.
Bye.